Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
And welcome to another Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We're on the air, but I'm solo. I'm solo today on the Coach K and Joe Show. Joe is not with us today. Joe had some other priority. I'll give him that. Something he had to do. I won't hold it against him. I'd like to say he's traveled to the World Cup, but that's not the case. Nope, Joe has not traveled to the World Cup, but he is missing in action from the Coach K and Joe Show today. So you've got me at least solo for the first hour. We'll bring on Don Schultheis, our indie correspondent with Who's Hot and Who's Not, in the second hour to talk with us and join the show a little bit. It'll be the Coach K and Bro Show with no Joe. We've done that once before, and it turned out pretty well. So we'll see what happens. But it's great to have you joining us here today on this Friday in June. Folks, where I'm at, it's hot. It's really hot. Where I'm at, the temperatures have been hitting the mid-90s. The humidity makes it feel like 100 degrees. So staying inside is always a good option, except when I think about the utility bill and the air conditioning. It's just hot, which always begs the question in the summertime, especially Midwestern, well, the United States. And I know we have listeners from all over, all around the earth via the internet, and I know a lot of those listeners overseas outside the continental United States are Americans that are just in the military or moved over for business reasons, family, things like that. But I've always wondered why, and our family did it when I was growing up. Why, during the summer months, when it was 90-plus degrees in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, all around the Midwest, where did we head to? Did we go to Alaska? Did we head north? Although some people do head up to the wonderful Great Lakes region, Michigan, Wisconsin. No, we headed to Florida. And what we got was upper 90s, high humidity, but we did get the sand and the sea, the ocean, the Gulf, which, other than the time you spent in the water, you had sand everywhere, inside your pants, up all over your, inside your head, on your head, in your hair, in your ears, all that stuff. Great times, but I've just always wondered why, to beat the heat, sounds like San Antonio Spurs, we head to the same heat in Florida. But that's not what the Coach K and Joe Show is. The Coach K and Joe Show is about everything and anything sports, and then the added glib stuff and any other topic that might come up. It could be political. It could be vacation trends, as I just talked about. But beating the heat is something the San Antonio Spurs knew how to do. Was that a fantastic NBA Finals? It really was. It was one of the highest rated Finals in years. I think everybody that started to watch the series or listen to the pundits talk about it kind of got caught up in the way the San Antonio Spurs played. It was refreshing it was really refreshing for a lot of people to be able to see a team on the professional level made up of many stars. And the one thing that I will say about the San Antonio Spurs folks is they really are an international team, and that's why internationally there were so many viewers that tuned in to the NBA Finals with Manu Ginobili on the team, Tony Parker, France. They just have a number of people that give the Spurs an international flavor, and it's so ironic, really, when you think about it, because San Antonio is really a small market team, although it's a big city in comparison. When you talk about population, it's still considered a small market team. It's spread out. It's kind of sitting out there in Texas, which is an enormous state. And I think people just kind of got caught up in the way Greg Popovich runs that team. The unselfishness of a great, great player like Duncan, and the fact that this team has done this for 16 consecutive years, making the playoffs, 5 NBA championships. It's taking on the big three out of Miami, the three that were kind of bought, kind of brought in for enormous sums of money in LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. And I think a lot of people had a sense that this would be a great series. It wasn't a great series in final scores, but honestly, it was a great basketball series to watch because of the way the Spurs play the game, the passing, the unselfishness. You could really tell that they wanted an NBA championship, that they felt like it slipped through their hands last year. And it did. So hats off to Greg Popovich, an Indiana native. I am a member of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame here in Indiana, which is open to anybody that wants to join. It's a great, great museum up in Newcastle, Indiana, home of the world's largest high school gym. The Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame headquarters are there. I am a member of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, and I am happy to say that Greg Popovich, head coach of the 5-time NBA champion San Antonio Spurs, also a member of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. And I'm not talking about an enshrined member. I'm talking about just a member. He may be enshrined. I really need to go back and look. I'm not. But somebody can start kind of a groundswell to get me in as a Hall of Fame member. I am a member as just a joined member, which anybody can do. But it's neat to see the San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich on that list of members. And I think it kind of continues that idea of who Greg Popovich is, who he has created the Spurs to be. It's one team, a family. He calls it, anytime he talks about family business. He talks about inside the family. I think you have to believe that he has created that culture. When you can do it for 16 years, it's phenomenal. But it shows that he cares about his roots. He knows where he's come from. He is right in there. He's an Indiana guy. And where is basketball any more important? Where are the roots of the game? Really, the roots of the game. But the state of Indiana. So hats off, a salute to Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. Great job. Can they do it next year? I don't know. They're getting older. You know, Miami struggled this year. Some guys did not play well throughout the year. Chalmers didn't play well. Haslam is old. When I say old, folks, I don't mean on a cane or anything. They're getting into their mid to late 30s, and it's tougher to play. Haslam is getting older. Dwayne Wade is struggling with his health. Chris Bosh when Dwayne Wade's not the aggressive player he needs to be and some of the other guys are not the physical players they need to be, getting to the basket, defending the basket, Chris Bosh's weaknesses show up. I think he's a great player from an NBA standard, but of the big three, he is the little one. Because his game, although he's 6'9", 6'10", whatever he is, he doesn't play that height. He wants to be more of a small forward in a power forward's body. You know, he wants to play elbow perimeter, and they really need him to play much bigger than that. Some games he does. Some games he does. So if you're a Heat fan, Chris Bosh fan, don't get too upset with me. Now, what's going to happen to LeBron James? I don't know. We'll have to. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Before we end the first segment and go to a break, I do want to talk about the loss of a person in sports. You know, anytime someone passes away, anytime someone leaves this earth, it's disappointing. It's devastating. There are people that are connected family-wise. There are people connected friendship-wise. And then there are just people that you're connected because you grew up with them from a distance. You're connected with them because you watched them grow. You watched them develop as players. You watched their careers. You watched them as people, as human beings. We lost, I think, a big, big person in the world of sports this week. The loss of Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Tony Gwynn. San Diego Padre lifer. Was the head coach of the San Diego State baseball team. He died this week. I'm sure you've heard about it, but I wanted to take time to talk about it. I got to meet Tony Gwynn one time. It was a brief chance meeting. Just a guy. He's just a kid in a candy store all the time. Had those bright eyes, had that gleam in his eye, smile on his face. Always excited. One of those guys that when you get around him, you can't help but having fun. Sometimes hokey at times, yet fun. And you may wonder, you may say, is this guy for real? And from every account, everybody that talked about him, everybody that had something to say about him, it was the same. Great baseball player, maybe the best hitter that we'll be able to ever see in our generation. We may never see another hitter like him. 339 batting average, folks. Those kind of lifetime batting averages are the kind of averages I used to read about in the books during the summertime when I'd walk down to the public library two blocks from my house on 9th and Jackson in Jasper, Indiana, and read about all the great baseball players, the Ty Cobb, the Honus Wagners, the Lou Gehrigs, the Babe Ruths, the Ted Williams. Those are the kind of guys I never got to see play but had these gaudy, enormous numbers. Tony Gwynn was one of those guys, and we got to see him play. We not only got to see him play, we got to see him be loyal to the place he came from. We got to see him be upbeat. But you know what I can say about Tony Gwynn? You know what I can say about Tony Gwynn that's even greater than anything I can say about him as a baseball player? And when I think about this, it kind of makes me look in the mirror and think, you know, Coach K, you could be a little bit more like that yourself. And that is that he was even a better person. He always talked positive. He always talked highly of other players. He always showed respect to those who had come before him or to those who were doing things in baseball as veterans, whether they were announcers or sports writers, the people that wrote about the history of the game. Keith Olbermann, who I'm not a huge fan of Keith Olbermann's style, but I will tell you, he had a great piece after the passing of Tony Gwynn. You can get it on Facebook. You can pick it up on Facebook. it was tremendous talking about Tony Gwynn and the person he was. A story about when Tony Gwynn played at Yankee Stadium and got to meet the great Yankees announcer, Dick Shepherd, I believe was his name. And just how excited, here's this multi-millionaire Major League Baseball player. He's played all these years, and man, it was a treat to meet someone who had meant so much to the game, someone who he had listened to growing up. And I remember several times listening to Tony Gwynn talk about Scott Rolen in such high regards, the type of player he was, how he approached the game, how he made the game better, how, you know, just his overall demeanor. He had such high praises of Scott Rolen. And for those of you who don't know, Scott Rolen, of course, outstanding, a Major League Baseball player, third baseman, one of the best of all time, 8 or 9-time Gold Glove winner at third base, Phillies, the Cardinals, brief time for the Toronto Blue Jays, and finished his career with the Reds, at least up to this point. Also played high school basketball for me as a family friend. Tremendous basketball player, but even a much, much better baseball player. And so when I hear Tony Gwynn say those things, it just made me proud. And I appreciated the fact that a veteran of Tony Gwynn's stature would talk about Scott Rolen, a young baseball player at the time, in that way. And we're going to miss him. Guys like Tony Gwynn are what make young fans, make generational fans dream about the game, think about the game, not just playing, but, I mean, I know that I've got people listening right now, players in basketball, football, baseball, soccer, tennis, but you've had those days where you sat down with that pencil and paper. You've looked in the newspaper. You've watched a game on TV. You picked out that player you love, the player you love to emulate. You go out in the backyard. You pick up the walnuts that fell from the tree, and you get your wiffle ball bat. And you're standing there, and you're talking about the bases are full. You're down 3. Mickey Mantle steps to the plate. 2 outs. 2 strikes. You keep throwing those walnuts up until you hit one over the hedgerow and across the street for the home run. Or you're sitting in the backyard and you're shooting by yourself. And you keep playing the last seconds of the game. And you're Michael Jordan or Dwayne Wade or LeBron James. And you shoot 20 shots until you make that one that's the game winner. That's the fun thing about losing yourself in sports, in individual players, and that's what Tony Gwynn kind of represents to me. He represents the guy who played, but yet he represents the guy who got caught up in it like a fan. He was a great Major League Baseball player, a Hall of Famer, but he was also a fan. He was also like you and me. He was a fan. And that's something special. That's something exciting. So what's going to happen? We hope the game produces some more Tony Gwynns. And Tony Gwynn, we salute you. You not only for how you played the game day in and day out, but how you were a fan of the game and made fans of us as well. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little NBA, what's going to happen with the draft picks. Joe's not with me. I'm solo in this first hour. This is Coach K, Ken Schulteis. You're listening to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Thank you, Tony Gwynn, as we go to break.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show, the Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We're in June. Can you believe it? We're in June. NBA finals are finally over, and we're still talking about the NBA, of course, because the draft, we know who's picking first, Cleveland. But we're not sure who they're going to pick. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the recent situations that have happened with the potential number one pick. We got physical problems, and it's not what you thought it was. But before we do that, we got to bring up the World Cup. I've said before on the show that I am not a big soccer enthusiast. I do sit down and watch parts of the World Cup. I especially love the emotions of the fans and things like that. It is a world stage. You've got teams from all over the country. It's the Olympics of soccer without all the other Olympics crap that you get. Yeah, that's right. I said Olympics crap. You get all those stories behind the scenes stuff and the marching in and the marching out and all the political rhetoric that goes with the Olympics and the network stuff. And it drains me. But the World Cup's a lot of fun. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make the best it possible, although it will be feeble, a feeble attempt, I guess, in the end, to try to learn more about the rules of soccer, to understand it, and point set up on how you advance in World Cup. But not to belabor that point, as you know, I can belabor points consistently on this show. The United States, the USA, won against Ghana. It was a huge win. See, I don't know much about USA soccer and the World Cup, so beating Ghana, I thought that would be an afterthought. Ghana? Who's Ghana? I know they're somewhere over in Africa, but I couldn't imagine Ghana as a world power in soccer, but I'm being told that Germany and Portugal and Ghana and the United States are the same little bracket of pool play, and it's a tough bracket to be in, and Germany supposedly is the best team in our pool play, in our bracket. I'm not buying that. I think that we're building that up in hopes that when we beat them, and we will, everybody will say, oh, my gosh, it's the greatest moment in USA soccer, and that fuels the fire, but we'll see. But I think we need to play Portugal first. I think it's a Sunday match. Folks, let me know if it's not. You can text me at 812-480-9449. But if we beat Portugal and we just play to a tie or score a goal or something against Germany, you know, we're in, but you just never know. I mean, soccer for me is such a struggle because you can watch 90 minutes of a soccer match and nobody scores. It's just tough. It's just tough. And 2-1 scores in soccer are not near as exciting as 2-1 scores in baseball, in my opinion. But, again, I grew up with baseball. I didn't really grow up with soccer, and I don't know the nuances of the game. But good luck to the USA in World Cup. Obviously, we're excited. Now, Spain, I understand, who won the World Cup last year, España. How about that, folks? España. They lost. They're out. They will not advance in World Cup play, from what I understand. So, one of the big dogs is out, and the USA is trying to advance in. And again, I don't absolutely understand World Cup all the way, but I believe the coach of the USA World Cup team may not even be American. I don't know. So all of that creates confusion for me, but I am simple-minded, as some might say about Coach K. But USA, regardless of all the other stuff involved in the World Cup, go USA. Go USA! How about that? That's my impression of World Cup soccer. I brought up before the break, talking a little bit about the NBA. Cleveland Cavaliers have the first pick again. That's right, again. And from all indications, Joel Embiid was going to be the number one pick of this draft. Going into the draft, he's a big man. He's very athletic. He worked out for the Cavaliers. He had a tremendous workout. Shot the ball well from the perimeter, was strong, athletic, and quick on the inside. But somewhere, if you have not heard this, somewhere he picked up an injury. Now, most of you listening to the show might say, yeah, we heard he had a bad back, Coach. That's nothing new. No, 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 no. Hold on. Not only were there questions about his back going into the draft, and a lot of people said he's going to be okay on his back. He's got some tenderness, but he's going to be okay with some rest. He goes into Cleveland, has a great workout, and it was reported in the last 24 hours that he will be going into surgery. The number one projected pick in the draft of the Cleveland Cavaliers will be going into surgery, not for his back, folks. After a great workout in Cleveland, stress fracture in his foot. Now, the minute I heard, or the second, the millisecond I heard stress fracture in his foot, guess what I thought of? I know you've already beat me there, folks. You probably hearkened back to past drafts, the most recent Greg Oden. Great talent coming out of Ohio State. Stress fracture. Sam Bowie, great player coming out of the University of Kentucky. Portland drafts him as well. Greg Oden was drafted by Portland. Stress fracture. Yao Ming ends up with stress fracture. You're talking about big men with large bodies, carrying a lot of weight, a high-rise structure. And what is their foundation? Their feet, their hips. If their feet don't go, they can't go. And so this really, I'm sure this is Cleveland. They got to be looking at each other saying, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. It looked like that Embiid is the real deal. It looked like he was. that he would be the real deal. But we don't know now. With the stress fracture, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. So that changes the mock drafts. You can get on the internet. You can see on ESPN and Fox different mock drafts. Some people have Anthony Wiggins going up to number one. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. But it certainly changes things for Cleveland. And gosh darn it, aw shucks, isn't that Midwestern, folks? Gosh darn it, aw shucks. Here's a franchise that really was in a position to pick up, with Kyrie Evans already there, to pick up a tremendous basketball player. They're still going to get a really good basketball player, but I think Joel Embiid would have been perfect for that franchise, and it might have lured them another player. Obviously, you're thinking the same way I am. Will LeBron James leave Miami and go back to Cleveland? Is it really a possibility? Well, this may change it a little bit. But let me tell you why I still believe LeBron James should go back. There is a good young nucleus in Cleveland. The great thing about young NBA players is they are young. But the other thing about it is they're athletic, they're quick, they're strong, and they can make things happen on the court. So for me, it's a positive if he goes back there. He may lure another veteran player with him. He gets to rewrite a story in Cleveland that went sour. But also he gets to write a new story about the greatness of LeBron James, and he really is the greatest player in the NBA at this time and probably one of the five best of all time. Having said that, did you hear Pat Riley yesterday in a news conference? Pat Riley, a veteran NBA player, a veteran successful NBA coach, a veteran NBA management person. I mean, Pat Riley knows what he's doing. He goes out publicly, makes his plea for LeBron James to stay and play in Miami. He did it Pat Riley style. He never comes right out and says it that way. But he says it in a way where he is saying, I love you, LeBron. I want you here. We need you here. This happens to teams. You got to retool a little bit. You're the main reason for it. And he also challenges him at the same time. I thought that was just a Fox-like move. Just very smart, very Fox-like move. We'll see what happens. Dwayne Wade is literally on his last leg. They will have to retool. Do they go get a Kevin Love? Are they able to get a Kevin Love? They don't really have anything to give up. Word coming out of the NBA circles is that the odds of Kevin Love being in Minnesota before his free agency comes due, his contract is up, is minimal. I think Golden State is making a play for him right now. There are other teams talking to him as well. Will New York go after him if they lose their marquee player, Carmelo Anthony? We'll have to see. But I still think that LeBron James should leave and go back to Cleveland. And I know most of you are just saying, Coach K, you've lost it as usual. But I think LeBron James showed us how great a player he really was when he was in Cleveland. He willed that team into an NBA Finals, folks. He willed them. Yeah, he went down to Miami, and Bosch came in, and Dwayne Wade came in, and some other pretty good players were there too, Haslam and Chalmers, and some other good players, the Birdman. And they won NBA championships, and he took heat being on the Heat because the Heat didn't win right away, at least an NBA championship. What he had in Cleveland, and he got to an NBA Finals. There's a lot more pieces in the Cavaliers organization right now than there was when he was there. Plus, they have a first-round draft choice. Do they give it up? Do they trade it now that Embiid is not available? Do they trade it to someone else? Bring in a veteran player? Braun would be interested in coming back? They could. They absolutely could. Because who they draft is critical to the direction of that team. They're going to be a very solid young team. And, of course, one of the guests we've had on our shows before, Tyler Zeller, team as well, from here in Indiana, native, really not a native Indiana, but went through high school here in Indiana at Washington High School. Let's see what happens, folks. I'm still going to say it. I know that a lot of you probably don't agree with me, but I think LeBron James is special. I think he's special not just with his physical abilities. I think he's special intuitively, his mind, his understanding of the game, his understanding of how to get people involved and elevate them. You know, people like to say, you can't just make other people better. But he does. It's one of those things you can't quantify except through the numbers when you bring a guy onto a team and your team plays better. The players around them plays better. I've coached players on the high school level that have made their teammates better. I've coached great players on the high school level that didn't make their teammates better. Team, but the rise in the level of play of their teammates wasn't. You couldn't statistically follow that along with the player himself. At other times, I could actually quantify it. I could quantify it because of the other player. I think LeBron James is that kind of player, folks. I don't have the answer on why it's that way. I can't tell you the science behind it. I just can tell you that some people bring with them the ability that rallies people, that lifts up their emotions, their attitudes, and their ability to play. Coaches do it as well. Some coaches are phenomenal X and O'ers. But some coaches have the ability to take their team into a game, and they are able to get things done. They know how to rally them at the end. They know how to win games. They know how to make players play a little bit better than their ability to play or to believe more than they could have ever believed. I've seen it, folks. I've been a part of it. And at times, that's been me. LeBron James is that person. I want to see LeBron James write a new chapter, and I'd love to see it in Cleveland because I believe that he's a Larry Bird, Magic Johnson type player. I believe he's a Bill Russell. And I think that kind of player needs to step out of the big three mentality and take that show and bring those players along and add some pieces. I think Cleveland is getting in a position to do that. Last thing on the NBA. Kobe Bryant fans, you're not going to be happy with me on this. You're just not going to be happy with me on this. Just telling you. Kobe Bryant signs a contract extension for $50 million. The guy is literally at the end of his career. The guy is we don't even know if he can come back and play. He's had a series of injuries. They said he was healed from the last one, and he wasn't. If you wonder what I'm doing, I just spilled my coffee because I wasn't paying attention. Kobe Bryant signs a $50 million extension. 2 years. Folks, I got a problem with that. I've heard some people say, well, the Lakers are proving that they're the kind of organization that people are going to want to play for. They take care of the people that took care of them. And this will entice other NBA stars to want to be a Laker because they know at the end of their careers they'll be taken care of. Hold on here. What about the other side of the coin? I'm an aging superstar. I'm going to struggle. The team's going to struggle. Our coaching situation is iffy. We don't know who we're going to bring in, who we're not going to have. I helped the team that has given me great opportunities since I was a teenager. I helped the team retool this and possibly put something together these last 2 years of my career. I become like Duncan on the San Antonio Spurs. I take a little less, knowing that I've made more money than I could ever spend. I've got generational money for my children and my children's children. And if I parlay that right after I retire, I could be the next billionaire athlete like Michael Jordan, who became a billionaire as the value of his Charlotte team went up with the Clippers sale. My point is this. Why should it be the organization shows him love? Why can't they show each other love by him taking a little bit less, them giving him a nice contract with the opportunity for something down the road, but in order to retool the Lakers and get them back to be folks, the Los Angeles Lakers, think about it, the Los Angeles Lakers. When you think of the NBA, you think Lakers, you think Celtics. Recently, you've had to think San Antonio Spurs, Miami Heat. Everybody likes to throw the New York Knicks in there, but I think it's just because they're in New York. They really haven't done anything for years. They're not relevant right now. The Lakers are not relevant. They've made a series of mistakes in player signings. When Dr. Jerry Buss passed away, his son took over the team. They've had nothing but front office snafus. They've got infighting between Phil Jackson's longtime fiance, Dr. Jerry Buss's daughter, and her brother. I mean, what I would have liked to see, what I would have liked Kobe Bryant, the aging superstar, the appreciative player who the Lakers stood by through all his scandals with the women, blah, blah, blah. I would have liked to have seen Kobe take a little less so the pot was bigger for the Lakers to retool. That's my take, folks. That's my take. And this is why Kobe Bryant is not a top player to me and hasn't been. Because the longer he played, he's a great competitor, don't get me wrong, but it's been all about Kobe. It's been all about Kobe. And I know Stephen A. Smith is going to stand by Kobe on this, and this is the way it should be. Kobe Bryant has made more money, has been well taken care of, has too much power as an aging superstar on the Lakers, and the extension they gave him, he should have said, this is what's being offered, but you know what, folks? I'm not going to do that. Take a little bit less. I'm going to take less. I know that the Lakers and Kobe Bryant will be connected for the rest of their career, the rest of their lives, when I retire from playing on, and we got to retool this Laker organization. We got to get back to the fans. We got to get back to Laker Nation, and we got to become relevant. And we need to become relevant right away. And Kobe Bryant is not in a position physically to make the Lakers relevant by himself. So, Kobe, I don't think it's a great contract. Lakers, I don't think you showed anyone how good of an organization you are. I think it was short-sighted. I think you sold out the fans. And I think Kobe Bryant ought to step up and say, that's not the contract. I appreciate it, but that's not the contract I'm going to take, because I want this team to become relevant, and I want them to become relevant right away. That's my take. We're going to go to break. We got a lot more to cover when we come back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back. You've got the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, Coach K and Joe Show. No Joe today. No show by Joe today on the Coach K and Joe Show. No show Joe. You know, this is the second time Joe's done this. From what I understand scheduling, it won't be the last. Now, here's the difference, and you may wish I would be missing the show. You might wish that it was the other way around, that Joe was here and I was gone. But I'm actually going to be traveling to Rome later this summer. Yes, will I be doing the show from Rome? You bet I will. If it is possible and in the budget for me to connect up on Friday for the Coach K and Joe Show Live, I will be doing it from Rome. Maybe from the Spanish Steps. Maybe from the Vatican Museum. Maybe from Trevi Fountain or some palazzo in the middle of the city. Maybe I'll try to find an athletic facility in Rome. Do it from one of their basketball courts watching some young. But I will be on the show. But today it's just Coach K. And no Joe. But my bro, Don Schulteis, our indie correspondent, will join us in the second hour with Who's Hot, Who's Not. I want to apologize to a couple callers. We had a couple callers into the show. I couldn't get to your call. I'm kind of manning the board and doing the talk and all that stuff, walking the walk, and I couldn't pick up your call. I apologize for that. You can text me, though, at 812-480-9449. Again, that's 812-480-9449 on the Coach K and Joe Show. See what we have a question. I do have a text message come in on a question, and I'll get to that a little bit later. What about the Redskins? What about the Redskins and Daniel Snyder? You know, he's been under duress, public opinion, although I'm not sure how many people really, just the loud ones. A couple of chiefs of Indian nations, supposedly, the ESPN, the mothership, who's as liberal as can be, has been on him. And Daniel Snyder he's held tough. Hey, this is my team. The team has always been called the Washington Redskins. This is not a slight to the Indian Native American nations. This is just the name of the team. It shows a proud Native American visual as their emblem. And he says, I'm not going to change it. Well, this past week it was reported that the Patent Office of the United States government, and this is the stuff I don't like. This is the stuff that makes me as an American a little squeamish. Because I got to tell you, the freedoms in this country that we have, although sometimes they're abused, sometimes they're taken out of context, the vast majority of those freedoms you can't find anywhere else in the country, and they are respected, and they give the individual, they give the minority equal standing with the majority, or with the individual that has more money, or with the individual that has more power. They give the normal, everyday guy some individual standing. So I got to tell you, folks, I am not a fan of the Patent Office of the United States government taking away the Washington Redskins' patent on the name so they can't bring in the revenues from it, somehow trying to force Daniel Snyder changing the name so he can recoup the money through some other name patent and the NFL itself. I don't like this. I don't like this kind of stuff. I am a history teacher when I was teaching, and I love history, and I read about it, and I watch it, and I love the new information we get today from documentaries. It's so much more insight and in-depth than it used to be at our fingertips, on the internet, on TV, whatever it might be, reading. Folks, whether you agree with Daniel Snyder's stand or you're against it, folks, you have to agree that the government shouldn't be stepping in on something like this. It's almost ridiculous. The Washington Redskins, I am 50 years old. I got a birthday coming up. I'm actually 51. Send your gifts and presents to me. Going to be 52. I have never in all my life, and I've been following the NFL sports since I was a little guy, family of nine children. Dad was a high school coach involved in various sports. We all brought up playing and watching. I never thought of the Washington Redskins in a negative tone towards Native Americans. I never did. I never have. I thought of a proud, tough Native American Indian from the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s on the horse, a warrior going to battle, no different than an American soldier, United States soldier at the time of the cavalry in his uniform on a horse, a John Wayne movie. He wore a yellow ribbon, whatever you want to call it. Custer's last stand. For the Indians, the Native Americans, as much as I was for the U.S. cavalry. We know what we did. I didn't, but the United States government at the time, the Trail of Tears, displacing tens of thousands of Native Americans, forcing them thousands of miles away and then going back and taking the land that they gave them, taking it back. We understand that. But that's not the Washington Redskins. That's not the Native American image that the Washington Redskins portray. So I just think it's another ploy of the liberal media and some people who just want to have an axe to grind. And I don't like it. And I don't like the government using its different departments. Who knows, the IRS may be next. I don't like it. That's my political stand for the day. You may not agree with me. You may not like what I'm saying here. You may be the other way. But you know what? Daniel Snyder, you got $1 billion. Hold strong. Don't let the government, don't let public opinion really, I think it's a minority of public opinion. They've just gotten the ESPNs, some of the media channels that are really, really liberal to jump on their side and make this a big thing. I mean, it's just a football team, folks. And the image that's portrayed, proud warrior, a proud Native American warrior, which is historical from the standpoint that if it was one wearing a uniform. So let's settle down, folks. We got more to worry about in this world, in this country, than the name of a football team. And it's sad that we take political correctness so far that if just a few people are bothered by it, and maybe they got up on the wrong side of the bed or they want something to gripe about, or who knows, it's their way of making some money. It's their to fame. I don't know. So that's probably not a very popular stand I'm taking, but I hope Daniel Snyder will hold out. How about Clinton Kershaw? Pitches the 22nd no-hitter in Dodger history, and I know Brian McAtee, a friend of mine and sometime listener to the show, is probably pretty excited. Clinton Kershaw, the Dodgers, pitches the 22nd no-hitter. He was tough. 15 strikeouts, I think, or 16 strikeouts in that game. He is just one of the bright, young pitchers in Major League Baseball, and he certainly had it going the other night. The Dodgers, of course, in a battle with San Francisco Giants for that division, and Southern Indiana, Evansville, owned Don Mattingly. Donnie Baseball is the manager of that Dodger team. Magic Johnson, one of the owners. You got to give Magic credit. Magic, he just gets involved. He's just involved in the things he loves. Speaking of Major League Baseball, how about those Kansas City Royals? Lord singing about those Royals. It must have got them going. Kansas City Royals leading their division. Dominant play. I watched them play the Detroit Tigers the other night. They dominated the Detroit Tigers the other night, and they have just been a consistent team all year. Remember, they had a pretty good run last year. Let's see if they can keep it up. You know, after the All-Star break, that's when we find out who's got the mustard. Who's got the sauce to stay alive. Ned Yost, former Brewer skipper, Kansas City Royals skipper, he did a good job in Milwaukee, and he's doing a good job in Kansas City. Kansas City, one of the great teams when I was growing up. George Brett and company fell on hard times with salaries and big market teams and payrolls. But Kauffman Stadium's a beautiful stadium. And you know what? They may hold it together. They got good pitching. And a couple of the pitchers that they brought up through their farm system left them after one or two good years, went to other teams. They still got good pitching. So good for Kansas City, good for Major League Baseball. That stuff is good stuff when the major market teams are not the ones dominating. How about Tanaka? Speaking of major market teams, 11-1, I believe, New York Yankees brought him in. Everybody wondered if he'd cut the mustard in the U.S., absolutely can pitch. And he's keeping the Yankees in it. But I got to tell you something. I'm a Yankees fan. They're not very good. They got a lot of work to do. And last but not least, when it comes to Major League Baseball, did anybody see the video replays of Cueto, the Reds pitcher, Johnny Cueto? Didn't pitch very well. They lost to the Pirates. But he had trouble not only breaking bats on the mound, he had trouble breaking a bat as a hitter. He's an outstanding pitcher. I got to give him a lot of credit. He has pitched pretty well all year long. The Reds haven't hit for him. Last night, the Reds did score 3 runs. I believe they got beat 4-3. Cueto was pitching, struggled a little bit on the mound. Then he was hitting, struck out, got mad. Struck out and got mad and tried to break his bat over his leg and couldn't do it. Couldn't break his bat. Couldn't break his bat. Video was all over it. Tries to bring that thigh up, crack that bat over it, and he couldn't do it. So he couldn't break bats on the mound. He couldn't break bats on the mound, and he couldn't break bats hitting after he struck out. And for all you rock and roll fans, I saw something come across. Motley Crue's Vince Neil, lead singer of Motley Crue. And if you grew up around the time I did, Motley Crue was big band, crazy, heavy metal. Some of you probably listened to him, maybe dressed up like him right now. Boy, were they a sight. Motley Crue's Vince Neil has gotten the go-ahead to create a new arena football league. A little heavy metal in the arena football league. So that would be interesting. That'll be interesting to see. Crue invades arena league football. When we come back, two things are going to happen. I'm going to tell you what the president of the NCAA said about paying college players. We'll get the thoughts of Don Schultheis. We'll also have who's hot and who's not coming through. I know Don's getting ready to join us. We're going to go to break. It's Friday. I've been going solo through this first hour. I got my red solo cup. I guess I should have put that music together. I got my red solo cup as I'm going solo with no Joe on the show and getting ready in this second hour to bring in my bro, Indy correspondent Don Schultheis. But we're going to go to break right now. You're listening to Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Don Schultheis is going to be calling in here soon. In fact, I think he's trying to right now. Let's see if I can pull him in. Don, are you with me?
Coach, I'm right here.
All right, Don Schultheis joins me in the second hour. It's no longer the Coach K and No Joe Show solo. I'm not solo anymore. I've got Indy correspondent Don Schultheis with me. He's going to join me in the second hour. Don, I know we're going to go to who's hot and who's not. Before we do that, I do want to bring up to our listeners and get your input in as well, and we'll kind of banter back and forth, and if we end up ranting, we end up ranting. And if we end up in an argument, the bro-to-bro argument, we'll do that too, but we'll see what happens. Good to have you on the show, Don Schulteis, Indy correspondent, brings on the high school hoops in the Indy area, as well as the popular Who's Hot, Who's Not. What I was going to bring up to start the first hour is Emmert, the president of the NCAA, I guess they were in court talking about paying players, and I don't know what they were doing. They must have had some kind of a discussion on it. And he said that if we paid college athletes, you know, if we're actually paying college athletes, cause fans, it would cause the connection between the amateur athlete. Here's this guy, the gal giving everything they've got for the love of the game, for the love of the opportunity of the future. If we start paying them now in college, it would cause fans to lose the connection and the interest to the college game that we have right now. That's what he's saying. Now, I'm sure there's some other things that are concerning of him. Is how are we going to do it? Who's going to get paid what? How much can we give? What level? But, Don, having heard that, for our listeners today, and again to the couple listeners that called in, I apologize I couldn't take your call. I'm not the best hand on the board right now. But, Don, I mean, I'm trying to look at it from his point of view. I don't want to just come down on him and say, well, he's making excuses because he doesn't want to have to dole out the money. He doesn't want to create an uncontrollable situation for college athletics. But do you think, as you listen to that statement, as you kind of move it in and out of your thought processes, do you see the pain of players as a disconnecting rod between the fan, ultimately the great love we have with college?
No, I think that we're going to still have that connection. I think that it, over time, it'll be different. And I think that some fans will not appreciate the changes that are going to occur with athletes and schools and the business of college athletics in general. And others are going to love it. I think Emmert has no idea how to handle this situation. Here you've got the NCAA, a multi-billion-dollar revenue organization that over the last probably 10 to 20 years has just vaulted to this level. It's a fat cat that's used to controlling everything and keeping all the profits, and people are starting to call them out and say, hey, you as an organization, yeah, you manage this, you try to control it, and you got to admit, Coach K, the jury is out on whether they've been able to do anything. I think years ago they tried. I think now they're loosening it up because it's not good for quote-unquote business. But it is going to change, and people want their take. I have no confidence that the NCAA, the college presidents that are involved in it, have any idea how to handle this. But it is going to change, because in this country, you're not going to be able to exploit the athletes and put them on game covers and put them in commercials and advertise the teams without them eventually getting their share. It's going in that direction, but he, in my opinion, has no clue. So they're going to try to take it slow by throwing up every excuse, but that is a flimsy excuse at best, Coach. That is so flimsy, it's not going to hold up. If that's their argument, it's not holding up.
Well, I agree with you, and I think especially about the roadblocks. I think they're going to be putting up roadblocks slow down signs, all those things. I do think, and I've said this on shows before a year ago, and I've said this with Bill Song, the NCAA has to get out ahead of this thing. Even though it looks like they're pulling on the reins, Don, even though it looks like they're putting up the roadblocks, the slowdown signs, the barricades to keep it moving in a certain direction at a certain speed, they have to get out in front of it. They've got to get ahead of this thing, be smart enough to realize we either lead the change ultimately or we get forced to change. And that's what I think he needs to keep thinking about as he throws out some of these excuses. One of the other thoughts that I will throw out to the listeners and to you, here's a concern I have. When the pain of players begins, you know how business is, you know how Wall Street is. A big part of your career has been dealing with large companies and financial assets and things like that. At some point, when the payments start and to what level they might go, what's going to happen to the mentality of schools? We've already seen it change. We've seen it change in our own state. Indiana University, Fred Glass comes in even before, the guy before Fred Glass, the AD who took IU for all kinds of money and all kinds of bad contracts, they started what I call selling out to big businesses and advertisings and suites and all this other stuff. What's going to happen when they start paying out money and they say, you know what, our percentages of profit aren't what they used to be. We're not bringing in the money that we used to bring in to have for a rainy day, to keep our percentages up, to do other things we want to do. We're going to have to start charging more for ticket prices. Are we going to become a mini NBA, mini MLB, mini NFL situation where the normal fan, the guy who works 8 to 7, I don't even want to say 8 to 5, 8 to 7, who gets that Saturday afternoon, who gets that Wednesday night or big Monday, big Thursday, whatever night, a chance to go to one of these games, they can't afford to go anymore?
So I think we're definitely heading in that direction. And what about this scenario, Coach? I mean, you start paying athletes. I mean, let me take a step back. In my view, the NCAA started to commercialize college athletics decades ago with the tournaments and then the popularity. And then now the conferences jump in and they say, wait a minute. We have some of the greatest teams in our conferences. We're going to start doing that. And now it's just trickled down to the players, and the players are saying, wait a minute, we're the reason that all this works. And so they're trying to get their fill. And going back to your point, if the NCAA doesn't get out in front of this, the conferences, who are pretty shrewd business people, and they have consulted some real experts on how to put you know, their product together, they're going to take the lead, and we're starting to see that a little bit in the Big Five conferences for football. But going back to the players, get this scenario. What if you have a guy that got passed over from one of the major schools, and all of a sudden they hit their stride, and they go to a mid-major, and the guy's tearing it up. Let's use Larry Bird back in the day. You know, he went to IU, but transfer, goes to Indiana State, hits the stride, becomes a national figure. But he's probably going to be earning, in the pay-for-players type situation, a lot less. Then all of a sudden, what do you got? He's going to say, hey, I think I'm going to transfer to Duke because I can double my salary by going there. I mean, if this thing gets out of control, you could just see this turning into a free agent market at some level. And it would be, it's just going to be unbelievable. I mean, there's so many scenarios that could just unravel from this. It's scary. And the NCAA better get out in front of it and better be willing to make some adjustments, big adjustments, not this, hey, let's do it real slow so we can protect our revenue stream for the next 8 years because we just signed a multi-billion dollar contract with CBS Sports for the NCAA. We got to protect that. Hey, they better move, and they better move in pretty good speed.
I absolutely agree with you. And that's my biggest fear as we go forward, because here's the interesting thing. You know, we always criticize college athletics. Well, they bring these guys to college. They don't learn anything. They don't get an education. They don't go to class. They're clueless. All they care about is playing their sport. Folks, what did we think was going to happen? If you are educating young men and young women on a high level and they want to get into business, they want to get into law, and they're reading, and the internet has all these facts and information at their disposal, and any comments are being made, and social media is talking about what this guy got, what that guy got, what this university pays for this, what they bring in. And Nick Saban is getting an extension for $7 million, and John Calipari is getting an extension for $7 million, and Coach K, the second Coach K, the one below me at Duke, is getting $7 million. And Jamie Dixon is getting $2 million. And Tom Crean is getting $3 million. And assistant coaches at Louisville are getting $350,000,
$400,000.
Coach,
what's left? The players need a cut. I mean,
yeah,
it's trickle down,
saying,
right?
It is a trickle down. And they're not dumb. The players aren't dumb. The players, we criticize them for not being students. They have, here's our proof they are. They're saying, listen, we've learned this in our classes. We've seen this. We should be getting some. We're the reason you guys are making this kind of money. We should get some of that. But my concern is when that happens, it's just what you brought up. Well, this school's given more. I'm going here. And the point I brought up, a ticket that's $20 is now $50. A terrible seat at Assembly Hall, Don, and you know this, and so do a lot of IU fans, we want to get emotional about it, Assembly Hall, but let's face it, folks, if you get halfway up in the main section, it's a terrible seat, and
yeah,
if you get up in the rafters, my gosh, you better watch it on TV and listen to Fish on the radio. You're going to pay $75 for one of those seats? Well, there's a lot of Hoosier fans who work hard every day. They can't afford to do that. They just can't afford to do that. So I think, Don, that the NCAA, it better get out ahead of this. I hope they are. I hope they're not just reacting. I got to believe they're smarter than that. Maybe Bill Sahm can talk to us about that sometime. But this is we think it's big business now. You start paying players, Don. Where does this thing go, big business-wise?
Well, you might end up in a scenario, and I'm just throwing this out here, like baseball. You have, you know, I know it, the developmental leagues have not really taken off and that kind of stuff, but if they start pulling in the good players, and a guy can come out of high school and sign for what these baseball player draft choices are signing for, You might see a scenario where you got AAA or developmental teams and you get some of the best players. Hey, I'll go to the Pepsi Coliseum that's been recently renovated here, $63 million. You know, nice facility, 8,200 seats and lush plush, beautiful setting. If we have the indie B-ballers that are AAA and some of the best upcoming talent in the country – you know, that they've assembled and they're playing some other people. I'll go there and pay for that. And I think you might see that type of situation because one way or the other, the players are saying we demand and we have a right to our share because it's trickled down. NCAA, then the schools, then the coaches started saying, wait a minute, I recruit all this talent. I should be making millions of dollars. Then they do it, and who's left? It's the players. And I, you know, I'm a traditionalist, and I'm sure some of your listeners are sitting there going, my God, these guys are nuts. But this is America. It's supply and demand. It's free market. And when there is big money, and I saw this on Wall Street in the financial area, when there is big money at stake, the biggest and brightest minds start to attack it and try to figure out how they can get their share. And they're going to be lawyers, agents, and everything else getting involved unless these other guys, you know, the NCAA and some of these schools, and they come out, because you first see it in lawsuits, Coach, and then one of these courts is going to say, you know what, you got to pay these guys because you're earning revenue off of them. And cost of an education is one, is the start, and this other stuff that you're making a ton of money on, you got to share. You got to share with them because you're exploiting them.
Well, I don't see how college athletics wins. There's going to be some amateur athletes that are going to win in this. They're going to get more money. They're going to have more spending money, more beer money, more pizza money, more cell phone money. But I just don't see amateur athletics on the college level, how they win in this. I think I'm going to tell you who gets left out. You know where I'm going already. The fan gets left out. I think that the president of NCAA has a point. I don't think the point is, as he made it, we will lose interest. I don't think the fan wants to lose interest. I think the fan may be pushed out of being able to be a fan in the stands like they have been. You know, tailgates and early get-togethers before the basketball games, things like that, that the average fan can do. Now, I'm not saying that tailgate fields are going to be empty. Don't get me wrong. They may be more full, but people don't go into the game because they can't afford to go into the game. But I just don't see how the fan of college athletics ends up coming out in this, and we'll have to see what goes on. But Don, you make a great point. This is America. It's free market. At some point, the people making the money, it has to be shared. It just has to be shared because that's the way it works. And they continue to build huge stadiums. They continue to give coaches life-altering generational money. I'm not against that. Hey, I'm a coach. I'll take that money. Any of us would, folks. But when you start talking about the thousands of athletes that we are prospectively talking about paying, there's just going to be some difficulty, and we know how big the manual for NCAA rules is now. Can you imagine what the rules book's going to be? That there will be a separate rule book on compensation to athletes. What grade of an athlete? And I'm not talking about junior, senior, sophomore, although that'll be part of it, but how do you grade them on their talent? Don, obviously in business, in the pros, the best players, or at least who are considered the best players, get the most money. So you're going to start grading these athletes as well. I mean, do you see that as the possibility?
Well, it could move in that direction because people are going to say, hey, I need a raise. You know, I put on some good stats this year. I helped us win X number of games. I need a raise. I mean, so-and-so's, or I got to move schools. I mean, you could see the whole thing. Now, hopefully this, some type of a template gets put in place and it doesn't lead to that. But if you unlock, you know, I think about this, as we're talking about it, I think about it as kind of like, you know, major businesses over the course of time, industries have been deregulated. You know, the telecom industry decades ago became unregulated where, you know, the government had set up certain rules and there was the baby bells. You know, some of your listeners don't even remember this, but we had the baby bells of each state that would handle the telephone, and then all of a sudden they opened the door. And Sprint formed, and AT&T, and Verizon, and, you know, all of a sudden, it unlocked the rules and the regulation. It started, the great thing about our capitalism is that the money goes to the most efficient areas and the most creative ideas and things like that. And if the NCAA and the colleges are not careful, and this isn't going to happen next week or next year, or maybe even in the next few years. But something is radically going to change. And once the talent starts to siphon off and move in a different direction because they can be compensated higher or whatever, it'll be better for them. That's when the NCAA tournament that we know is going to lose its luster. What happened with the NIT years ago? NIT was the tournament back in the early part of the 1900s, and then all of a sudden the NCAA put together a stronger model, pulled the schools together, started to expand it. People liked that, and then all of a sudden that became the tournament. So if they don't get their act together, and as you point out, get ahead of it, it is going to start to move down a path where it gets creative and most efficient, and it compensates the players to a level where they get more satisfied. That's the bottom line.
Well, Don, I'll tell you, it is a Pandora's box, to use the analogy. It is a Pandora's box. And having said that, I see schools, small Division I schools in the Missouri Valley Conference and the Ohio Valley Conference, teams like University of Evansville, teams like down in Kentucky, Moorhead State, those types of places, all over the country. I think this would be such a struggle for them and would probably force some of these teams out of Division I and into a Division II or III status, probably Division III for a lot of the private schools. Or we may end up, as we do in major college football, in NCAA football, we may have another Division I. You know, not Division II, but Division I and Division I-A, where the biggest of big schools who can afford all this go in. But, folks, this is a Pandora's box. I hope our listeners think about this a little bit. It's not as simple as writing a check on a Thursday or a Friday to an athlete to pick up. Even if it's $1,000, think of the thousands of athletes out there trying to get that $1,000. And it's probably going to be more than that for a large number of athletes. But great insight on that. It's a tough situation for the NCAA. Change is inevitable. One of my friends had on Facebook today, change is inevitable. And be ready. And I would agree with that. And I went on to say that to change. So you can help be a part of leading the change and not be in chains because of the change. And that's where the NCAA really needs to get on it. And you say, you know, listeners, Coach K, you think you know more than the NCAA college president? I don't know that I know more. I think that I can sit here and confidently say with my guest in the second hour, co-host Don Schulteis, that, yeah, I think we know as much. We don't have all the insight, but it wouldn't take us long to start reading the numbers. And, of course, you have to have the experience of going through something every day. It's one thing to know the numbers. It's one thing to know the information. It's another thing to go through the experience. It's like watching practice and participating in practice, watching a game and playing a game, watching someone coach and making those decisions when you don't have to and actually having to coach and make those decisions, telling how you would get players to do things and having to actually be the one that has to get them to do those things or teach them those things. I understand it's
coach,
two different things.
Thing
the NCAA
is
between a rock and a hard place.
The NCAA's never had to think about this. They've never had to think differently about it. It's business as usual. And so all these smart minds, you know, we're assuming the college presidents are intelligent, but they've only had to think about, okay, now how do we maximize this model? How do we make the most of it so that we can share in a bigger pie? But it's being turned upside down. And the guys that are going to sign, I think it's going to probably be new names rising to the top. In my own opinion, Emirates' days are counting down because he is not capable, or has he shown his capabilities of being able to turn this thing upside down and think differently about it. There is going to be a new person or persons coming to the forefront to either save this place or the NCAA over the next 5 to 10 years is history, in my opinion.
Good stuff, Don, and you're right on target. And hopefully Mr. Emmert will say, before they replace me, I'm going to find somebody who can co-chair this thing with me or I can put in charge of it. Because if you're too arrogant to be a leader who sees some of his gaffes, you go find somebody. If you're not arrogant enough, you're a good leader, you find the person. You find the person who can do it. Doesn't matter if
exactly.
You get credit. In the end, you still got it. But if you're too arrogant, you try to do it yourself when you're not capable of doing it yourself. You know, if you can't shoot a three-pointer, you find a three-point shooter. If you can't pass the ball downfield, you find somebody that can. You can't hope that it happens. Don, are you ready for who's hot, who's not?
I got him here, Coach.
Now, we got to give you the proper introduction. Here it goes.
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not. Put out all the money and let it roll with you. When you're hot, you're hot. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Who's hot and who's not? I love that Jerry Reed song, and I love him too. He's the bro of the show, Don Schulteis, with Who's Hot and Who's Not.
All right, starting out on the hot side this week, Coach. Last weekend, little man, 5'8", Jimmy Rollins of the Philadelphia Phillies, 2,235 to surpass who? The legend, Mike Schmidt. Some of the older listeners will remember Mike Schmidt and those great Philadelphia Phillies teams that he led to victory. He was the historical most hits leader at Philadelphia, but no more. Short little Jimmy Rollins gets it done. And who did he get it done against? The lowly Chicago Cubs, who the Phillies beat 7-4 in that particular. So Jimmy Rollins, despite that you're not very big, you are hot this week.
And that's the great thing about baseball. You don't have to be very big to get the job done. And Jimmy Rollins, Don, you remember he came up around the same time that Scott Rolen was with the Phillies, and they had Abreu and all those guys. And it's just great to see him still playing and still producing.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll be able to stay at Philadelphia and end up, retiring in a Phillies uniform. It's great. You don't see that much with players these days, but it'd be nice for somebody like him, especially overtaking the legend in Mike Schmidt, because he was a great one. He was a great Philly, and looks like Jimmy Rollins is too. All right, Coach, on the not-so-hot side, a good friend of mine got me third row seats behind his Nebraska Cornhuskers during the basketball season when they visited Assembly Hall. I say that, but technically he's not a good friend of mine. He's a friend of a good friend of mine. But Coach Tim Miles fined $100 this week for negligent driving. Miles was driving in Lincoln, Nebraska, when his SUV struck another that had slowed in front of him. The impact pushed the other SUV into the rear of a pickup truck that was parked. And I just have a feeling that Coach Miles, because he's a great recruiter and he's always working, I wonder if he might have been texting when that occurred, Coach. But getting fined after hitting an SUV into another pickup truck, I'm going to say, Coach, you're not hot this week.
Wonder if he was driving a Lincoln in Lincoln.
Could be. All right, on the hot side, number two this week, 45 years of mostly being a hockey punchline, and your listeners cannot say that we don't talk about hockey on this show, because the LA Kings have won the Stanley Cup for the second time in 3 years by closing out the New York Rangers in five games. And, Coach, they took a long, hard road to do this, and that's what's so exciting and hot about it. They did this after finishing third in the Pacific Division and falling behind 3-0 in the first round of the playoffs to San Jose. And then they went on to win two more seven-game series to get to that finals with the Rangers. And, again, they end up winning the second Stanley Cup in 3 years. I'd say this week, Coach, the L.A. Kings, who are probably the most talked-about pro sports team in L.A. now because the Lakers stink, are hot.
And yes, they are. And remember I talked about on the show last week, Don, I brought up the fact that the L.A. Kings became relevant, if you remember the trade, when the great one, Wayne Gretzky, left Edmonton and went to L.A. They'd had some struggles in there, but they are the champions of the NHL.
No doubt. Okay, on the not hot side, and this is kind of ironic because it's on the not hot side, and it's a little off the sports beat, but once in a while we slip one of these in here, Coach. But Mitchell, Indiana, is known for a lot of things. You probably played Mitchell during your coaching career once or twice, but I read this week that firefighters in Mitchell are facing a major problem. Fire hydrants are not working. One Pam Condra's home in Mitchell burned down starting back in September when firefighters couldn't find a working hydrant. Tanker trucks couldn't provide enough water to extinguish her blaze. And she says they were doing just fine. They almost had the fire put out. Then they went to a hydrant, and the water didn't come out, and her home burned to the ground. But she's not the only person to lose a home. Tina Colbert said she lost everything last month when firefighters couldn't get hydrants on either end of her block to work. Coach, despite their fires being hot, I'd say the town of Mitchell and the Mitchell Volunteer Fire Department is not hot, seeing two houses burned to the ground because their hydrants are not working.
You know what's so ironic about that, Don? And it's sad for those people who lost their homes. But here's a town that produced guys who grew up and were astronauts who went to the moon, but they can't get water to flow through their fire hydrants for the fire department. Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, luckily, Ouch. Coach, that Gary Pruitt, the mayor of Mitchell, has acknowledged that more than 200 fire hydrants around the city are not working. So they are, and they are like 70 years old or older. So he has mandated that they will be testing all those hydrants and trying to get those things so this won't happen again. So it is too unfortunate for those homeowners that lost their homes, but hopefully they'll get this situation under control. But just a kind of a, not a funny story, but kind of funny story to share. All right. On the hot side, Coach, we got to talk about the USA World Cup soccer team. I know you talked about it earlier today, but it defeats the two-time nemesis Ghana. USA World Cup soccer teams have been eliminated by Ghana twice in recent years. They win 2-1 on an early score and a late one. Clint Dempsey scores within 29 seconds, which is the fourth quickest score in World Cup history. And then John Brooks, who came in for injured Matt Bessler, scores in the 86th minute after Ghana had tied it in the 80th minute. So U.S. goes on to win 2-1. But, Coach, did you hear the background? John Brooks, the substitute that hit that, said he had a dream a few days before the World Cup game or the soccer match, and dreamt that he scored in the 80th minute to win the game. So that's kind of a, you know, you don't get that everywhere, Coach, but you get it on the Coach K and Joe show. So I think the USA World Cup soccer team and Clint Dempsey, John Brooks, you guys are hot, and I hope you keep it going on Sunday and we can get Portugal.
Do 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 do. Little Twilight music to go with that, Don.
There you go. All right, on the not so hot side, Coach Jeff Samardzian, who used to be the receiver for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, got drafted by the Cubs. We all heard about it. Tall pitcher, but I read this week that Chicago Cub pitcher Jeff Samardzian, 5-21 now, with a 4.76 ERA in day games since becoming a starter for the Cubs in 2012. Incidentally, he's 12-10 with a 2.82 ERA during night games. But I'd say when he is pitching in the day for day games, Coach, Chicago Cubs starting pitcher Jeff Samardzian is not hot at 5-21. No comment?
It's Cubs.
All right, a little brighter news on the baseball front. On the hot side, former IU baseball player, catcher Kyle Schwarber has batted his way right out of the short season Northwest League after being drafted number 4 by the Chicago Cubs. He's being promoted from the Boise Hawks, who he reported to right after being drafted and signing, incidentally, like a $3.5 million contract, to the Kane Cougars of the Class A Midwest League after 5 games, Coach. He's batted 600 with 10 RBIs, 4 home runs, and he was also named this week as a college baseball All-American. So former IU baseball player Kyle Schwarber, who helped lead them to the College World Series last year, you are hot.
Don, he's red hot. We can only hope that the Cubs organization will not react foolishly and try to bring him up too quickly and ruin him, freeze him out. Let's let him progress and let him just continue to excel.
Yeah, and we should note that he's playing left field. They're going to move him to outfield or first base is what I read from catching, because I think he's got such a strong bat. Remember the days, Coach, when catchers used to be your one of your best hitters and power hitters, and there's a few left, but now they say that the job is just too strenuous, and they want to maximize the use of his bat, and so they're moving him to the outfield. I think he's playing left field now.
Probably anyway, good move for him career-wise.
Yeah, helping his longevity. On the not-so-hot side, Coach, the Minnesota Timberwolves, I know you talked about them a little bit earlier, and they're a good player. What's his last name, Love? Well, they have missed the NBA playoffs for 10 straight years. This is the longest active drought in the league. The last time they made the NBA playoffs was in the 2003-2004 regular season under Coach Flip Saunders. So I think if they let Kevin Love go, I know he's a good talent, but, man, he hasn't been delivering much for them. I'd say that Minnesota Timberwolves, after missing the NBA playoffs for 10 straight years, you are not hot.
Yeah, maybe Flip Saunders wasn't the problem. Maybe it's the organization.
I'm beginning to think that. All right. On the other side, it was announced this week, or confirmed, and this relates to our earlier discussion, Coach, the Big Ten Basketball Conference led all conferences in total attendance for men's basketball games this year. This marks the 38th straight year that the Big Ten Men's Basketball Conference has led the country and all the other conferences in attendance. I'd say the Big Ten Basketball Men's Basketball Conference, with that kind of information, that confirmation, 38 straight years in leading attendance, you are hot.
Sizzling.
All right. And the not hot side, and then I'm going to wrap one up on the hot side, Coach. It was back to Minnesota, but this is an interview that I read by it was an interview with Tubby Smith, and Tubby Smith is the former head coach of the University of Kentucky, won a national championship in their men's basketball program, and most recently was let go at the University of Minnesota before they hired young Rich Pitino. He was asked what his greatest disappointment was, and he said it was getting fired at the University of Minnesota. He said he was standing outside the going into a meeting with the athletic director before he got let go, and his phone rings, and his wife's on the other end saying, "Tubby, are you going to get fired today? It's being reported all over the airwaves that you will be released." And he said he laughed and said, "No, I think they're calling me in to give me a raise," because he had just got eliminated, I think, in the round of 32. He had won over 20 games every season that he had been at Minnesota. He had just beat UCLA in the first round of the tournament by 20-plus points. So he thinks he's going to get a raise, Coach. He walks into the AD office only to be told that he's just not getting the job done by the athletic director, Norwood Teague. It prompted Isso at Michigan State to say, "You used to get fired for not winning enough games, are, you used to get fired for not winning games, and now it's, this firing just shows that you can get fired for not winning enough games. 20-plus game seasons, just blew out UCLA on national TV, and he gets kicked out. So I'd say Tubby, at that point, reading that article, and really the University of Minnesota in a lot of ways, you're not hot. And haven't been for years. Yeah, Richie Rich just said this spring that he was committed to the University of Minnesota. He wants to turn it around and make it a national power. I'm going to say right now on the show, we'll see how many years he actually lasts there. And it may not. It may be because he's successful and he moves on, but I just don't believe he's a long-termer at the University of Minnesota. And to round out the segment, Coach, on the hot side, we always like to end on the positive, young 11-year-old Lucy Lee, the youngest player to qualify for the U.S. Women's Open that is being played at Pinehurst against the best women golfers in the world. She teed off yesterday in that tournament. She's a sixth grader, Coach. She's 5'1". She wears braces. She can hit a driver 230 yards, but in tournaments, she says, she can hit it further because of the adrenaline rush that she gets. And she can hit her 5-iron over 170 yards. She's an 11-year-old. I bet she doesn't even weigh 100 pounds. And she is playing against the best golfers in the world at the U.S. Open in Pinehurst. She carded a 78 yesterday. She was, I think, about 10 strokes off the leader. But pretty awesome display of talent and mental toughness, Coach. Lucy Lee, the 11-year-old wonder on the women's side, you are red hot.
She is hot. And what was funny was when they asked her, can your dad beat you? She laughed. She laughed. And she said, no. I thought that was classic. Don, great stuff. We're coming down to the end of the show, but before we do, I want to play something to our listeners. It is, I believe, some comments Larry Bird made on Facebook. Let me see if Joe got this downloaded correctly, and we'll end the show talking a little bit about this. Here's what Larry had to say about the Pacers season.
Thanks for being part of a great season. There's a lot to be proud of this year. 56 wins, number one seed in the East, two NBA All-Stars, and tremendous fan support. But we fell short, and we all need to get a little bit better. The front office, the coaching staff, the players, heck, even this guy. We're not satisfied. I'm already looking to next year. It will be a battle, and we will be ready.
Good move by Larry Legend to come out and kind of stem the tide of a season that probably, and Don, I'm just going to be honest with you and get your comments. I thought they had a great year. I thought the cart got ahead of the horse. I thought everybody's expectations got crazy. I was one of them. They hit their slump. They still made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's pretty clear they're a true leader on the floor short and probably a true point guard short. But good move, bad move, expected move, Larry Legend coming out, and it's running all over social media. Your thoughts?
I think it was a great move by Larry Legend. I think that whether it was his idea or the business side, it's all about keeping the fans. He brought the fan. They brought the fans back in droves this year because of the season, and I think that Larry, just by acknowledging that and letting people know, because we're all thinking it, they better not be satisfied. They've got more work to do. I think you're right. He got out there in front of it. Maybe the NCAA should, you know, look to that as an example, and they'll go from here. And you're right. I mean, I think we got giddy about the Pacers, and I think what they were doing in the first half of the year, other championship teams have realized that unless you just got, you know, rock solid experienced talent, it's a long season, and you're going to hit your slump, and you don't want to peak too early. But regardless, on paper, they deliver back to the finals. We're a little bit short, as you said, on player personnel, but if we could make a couple of key moves and get that shored up, we're going to be competitive again, and that's the key. What'd they say, Coach, about every team? I think I went somewhere. Tom Ricketts of the Chicago Cubs, he's the lead owner, said, the one thing I've realized of teams that win it all, that they've all got in common, is that they make the playoffs. And as long as you're in there and battling and competing, you'll have an opportunity.
Oh, there's – I absolutely agree. I think that people underestimate the importance of experience. They underestimate the importance of leadership. You have to have been there. And the Pacers are still learning what it's like to be there. And we're talking about a team that had just been new to making the playoffs, and we expected them here in Indiana to walk in and dethrone the defending NBA champions, two-time defending NBA champions, who literally not much had changed for. The Pacers are on the right track. Is there someone available to bring in? Can Paul George become the leader on the floor that we would like him to be? We got to remember, he's still young. He's still really young. And I think Frank Vogel did a great job. I can't stand the people who second-guessed him and said, you know, he let this team flop. What are you talking about? 56 wins? I don't think so. Well, folks, it's been a great show. I was solo without Joe the first hour. It was the Coach K and Bro Show the second hour. Don, it was great to have you. Great stuff again.
All right, Coach, and I just want to say to all the listeners, if anybody comes across something that could be hot or not, have them text it in or send it in to the website. We can always add it to the list, and maybe we could get a little participation from the listeners out there. Everybody's reading stuff and hearing things, and it'd be great to share it.
I did get a text message. They want to know, Coach K, do you know if the Southridge basketball job's been filled? It has not been filled yet. I can tell you I'm not going to get it. I do have an idea of who the leading candidate is. I think they've got one more interview to go, but they did not hire one in the board meeting at Southridge last night, and I believe a special session will happen. There'll be a last name that's very familiar to Southridge fans, I believe, but, again, that's speculation. Folks, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Come back next week. Joe will probably be at the show. I won't be solo. Get out there, enjoy sports, and be blessed. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.